to worshiping together this morning as we are just going to focus our heart's attention on the Lord and what He has done for us. And so I just want to begin by saying a quick word of welcome. Thank you to all of you for joining us. If you're a guest, whether in person or online, we want to say welcome. My name's Chris. I get the privilege to serve as pastor here at Second Baptist Church. And so thankful for that opportunity and grateful that you're here. If you are a guest, we'd love to connect with you. Know that you're worshiping with us. You can fill out a card in the pew back in front of you. At the end of service, you can leave that. We have a gift, especially just to say, hey, thanks for worshiping with us. Just a way to show our appreciation and love for you and your family. Or you can go online to sbcr.org. There's a button that says, I'm new. You can click that button and fill that information out, and it'll give us a chance to connect with you, know how we might be able to serve you. And so grateful for that. I do want to mention a few announcements this morning. Want to make you aware of a couple things. First of all, we have our quarterly family business meeting tonight at 5 o'clock. This is important because in this meeting, we are approving, I know it's difficult to think about this, but the year 2022 annual budget. It's hard to think it's 2022 already. So nonetheless, tonight we will be looking at that and approving that, Lord willing, tonight, and then also other positions of leadership and teams and committees, all those sorts of things. That is on the agenda for tonight's meeting. So if you're a member of our church, we really need you to make it a priority to be here at 5 o'clock tonight. Also, something else that is happening tonight, you can come at 4 o'clock. We've been collecting all these items. You've been so gracious to donate so much of these items for our Thanksgiving food boxes. And what we do is we're planning to deliver as many of those as possible tomorrow. I'll say a word about that in a moment. But one of the things that we do on Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock tomorrow, is that we get together, 4 o'clock today, got it all messed up. 4 o'clock today, we're going to get together and we're going to get those boxes ready. We're going to pack those boxes as much as we can. Of course, some of the cold, perishable stuff we won't be able to do this evening, but that'll help us tremendously as we have folks show up tomorrow to help deliver those. So 4 o'clock this afternoon, if you can, please come here. We'll be at the other end of the building in the fellowship hall. We'll get those boxes together. We'll be spread out in there. And then it'll be like getting to go on the grocery game, right? You get to go shopping and bring it to a table. We'll pack it in the box and make it ready. So 4 o'clock this afternoon, Thanksgiving boxes, we're putting all of that together. And if you do have items, or if you've got sticky notes of items that you've not brought yet, we really need those here. Please get them here before 4 o'clock. And if you have those and plan on bringing them, if you could say a word to Pastor Jonathan right after service, because his plan is to go and finish out the shopping, and that way we have as many of those items as we can prior to packing those boxes, okay? All right, so 4 o'clock, packing the Thanksgiving boxes, and then we'll do as much as we can. Probably can get it mostly finished, if not all finished. 5 o'clock, we will be in here for our quarterly family business meeting. I'm getting it all wrong this morning. I need a script, I guess. But quarterly family business meeting at 5 o'clock. And then tomorrow, we have scheduled to deliver a lot of these boxes. And so we need your help. If you are available tomorrow at all to help deliver, we've set up times, we have addresses, all that sort of thing. We usually send teams of two or three individuals and go and just try to be a source of encouragement as we drop these off to families in need, okay? And then finally, let me say about the Thanksgiving boxes. We have a lot of families committed to and assigned out these boxes, but we have several left. And those of you that maybe do social media, we've posted this on our Facebook page, and there's a Google form. So you may want to share that post. You may know families who might could need a little bit of extra or need a meal this Thanksgiving. If you would share that, they can fill that out. And actually, the deadline is supposed to be this evening, but we still have several boxes available. So please help us spread the word and try to meet the needs in our community any way that we can, okay? All right, I know that's a lot of information. Finally, I want to say about Wednesday night, there's no activities here on Wednesday night. Want you to enjoy time with your family. You know, a lot of things happen several different nights of the week around this time. And so we want you to enjoy time with your family. No Wednesday night activities this Wednesday. Okay. All right. I know that was a lot of announcements. 4 o'clock to help with boxes, 5 o'clock for our business meeting, and then let us know if you can help deliver tomorrow. Okay. All right. Well, I want to lead us in a time of prayer. Psalm 21 and verse 13 says, "Be exalted, Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your might." Be exalted, Lord. And then the declaration by King David is saying, we're going to sing and we're going to lift up because of your might, your strength. This being the week of Thanksgiving, I would say that undoubtedly, I believe we can all stand this morning and sing praise to God because He has been good and gracious and kind to us. And so may our heart reflect an attitude of thankfulness as we sing together this morning. Let's bow for a word of prayer. God, you are gracious and kind and merciful. Thank you for today. Thank you for how you love and care for us. And I pray this morning that you would be exalted. I pray that we would sing unto you, Lord Jesus, that it be out of a heart of gratitude. And Lord, we just love you and we praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing Worthy of Worship? Our God is worthy of worship today, isn't He? 10,000 reasons this morning to bless the Lord our God. It doesn't take us long before we can think of so many different reasons to thank Him this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be says, my soul, bless the Lord, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Your holy name. I worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name. Sing like never before. Worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. Lord, I'll worship your holy name.
I want to take just a moment, if I can, and just say a word of thanks to so many of our folks who volunteer, sacrifice a lot to make church happen. What you see and hear on Sunday morning. Miss Kathy and Miss Sherry have been so faithful, and I appreciate them. And of course, Jonathan and Al Ray is taking a little time off, and appreciate him. Appreciate Jonathan stepping in and leading us. And Becca's recently had a procedure; she's recovering from that, doing well. And so, but I appreciate her service. And then, we have a lot of folks upstairs behind the camera, behind the scenes, that help make all of that happen. And so I'm grateful for them week in and week out, faithfully serving and just really appreciative of that. So I thank God for them. If you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. And speaking of, Michelle, I made a mistake, and I put Hebrews 1:7 in there, and it is Hebrews 11:7. And so I correct my typo, and we'll have the right verse up on the screen for you in a moment. But this morning, I want to preach to you about blind faith, blind faith. And we are going to look at Noah and, Lord willing, learn and be encouraged from his example. And we're going to read this verse from Hebrews 11:7, and then we'll look at the story, a brief synopsis or a brief portion of the story with Noah in Genesis. But we've spent some time focusing on faith, and we still got several weeks. I don't know if it's fair to call it a series. I don't know if a series is supposed to be 10 or 12 weeks long, but anyway, that's kind of where we're at, and just really slowing down and digging in deep and learning about faith. Absolutely faith in the Lord Jesus for salvation, but also for those of us as believers. How do we live out this faith? How do we live this life that Jesus has called us to? And so Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, if you've found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? Hebrews 11 and verse 7 says this: "By faith Noah, after he was warned about what was not yet seen and motivated by godly fear, built an ark to deliver his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and grace toward us. We thank you for how you love and care for us. God, I pray that you have blessed the preaching of your word. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. And God, help us to focus our heart's attention on you. Lord, we love you and praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. The main idea of the text is this, is that God blesses blind faith. He blesses blind faith. And the question I have for you this morning that our text has, do you exercise blind faith? Are you wanting the, I heard Adrian Rogers describe following the will of God and the plan of God like this, is that oftentimes if you come to our service tonight or you are out and about somewhere tonight and you get in your vehicle, it's dark and you turn your car on, your headlights shine right in front of you, but they don't shine in front of you and make a turn down the street and make another turn down the street and then a turn down the street and shining. It doesn't show all that at one time. It just shows right in front of you. And he said, following the will and plan of God is like getting in your car, turning it on, turning your headlights on, and it shows right in front of you. God wants us to be obedient to what is right in front of us, although he is leading us to somewhere that we may not see or understand. And we see this in the life of Noah. So right there, I want you to hit pause for just a moment. I want us to read this text in Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse 13. Genesis 6, verse 13. Genesis 6, in verse 13. We're not going to read the entire account. We're going to reference this a few different times. But just in case, whenever I first got saved, first started coming to church, Brother Tim would mention, and I know some of you may laugh at this, may mention Noah or may mention Adam or somebody like that, and I just started going to church. I didn't have any idea what they were talking about. And so here it is. I want to read this because I don't want to assume anybody is overly familiar with the story of Noah. And so Genesis 6, verse 13. Then God said to Noah, I have decided to put an end to every creature, for the earth is filled with wickedness because of them. Therefore, I'm going to destroy them along with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it with pitch inside and outside. This is how you are to make it. The ark will be 450 feet long, 70 feet wide, and 45 feet high. You are to make a roof, finishing the sides of the ark to within 18 inches of the roof. You are to put a door in the side of the ark, make it with lower, middle, and upper decks. Understand that I am bringing a flood. Flood waters on the earth to destroy every creature under heaven with the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark with your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives. You are also to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of everything, from the birds according to their kinds, from the livestock according to their kinds, and from the animals that crawl on the ground according to their kinds, will come to you so that you can keep them alive. Take with you every kind of food that is eaten, gather it as food for you, for them. And then notice this, and Noah did this, he did everything that God had commanded him. So in our text this morning, Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith Noah, after he was warned about what was not yet seen and motivated by godly fear, built an ark to deliver his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. And so this morning, what we're doing is we've walked through a couple different verses here talking about faith in the first part of Hebrews chapter 11 the last couple weeks. This week, the writer of Hebrews gives us Noah as an example in which we ought to look into, we ought to think about, we ought to consider. And so what do we know about Noah? Noah was 500 years old. Remember we talked last week about, or a couple weeks ago, about age and that the fall of man and the impact that had on mankind, living a lot less length of days than what they did once. And so Noah was 500 years old. The Bible says that he was a righteous man. But undoubtedly, he was very few and far between, because at this point in time, God looks over all the human population, looks over the world at the time, and finds that there's just utter wickedness, complete wickedness. And so then God brings down judgment and he says, I'm going to destroy everyone and everybody with the exception of Noah and his family. But I'm going to use Noah to build an ark to save him and his family. And there's a picture of salvation there that I don't have time to get into this morning, but to save them. And so God shows up on Noah's doorstep and gives him this word of saying, look, I'm going to destroy everything, and I want you to build this ark, build this boat. And by the way, it's pretty big, 450 feet long, wide, 45 feet tall. It is a huge, huge vessel, okay? And it's to house the animals, house his family. He's preserving his creation, preserving this so that he wipes everything off the face of the earth and essentially starts clean. That's the story. That's the what we have from the scripture this morning. And so here we are, we're looking at this, and as we look at Hebrews 11:7, I think there's highlighted in this, I believe there's five observations that we need to take away from the text this morning. And so I want to walk through these with you. Number one, remember the main idea is this: God blesses blind faith. So number one, blind faith begins with a walk with God. This is not a new idea. We talked about this recently with Enoch, and more of that in a moment. But notice Hebrews 11:7. By faith, after he was warned about what was not yet seen and motivated by godly fear, built an ark to deliver his family. So what is it? After he was warned, listen, he had to have some sort of relationship, some sort of communication with God. Genesis 6:9 says this, says these are the family records of Noah. Noah, look at this, was a righteous man, blameless among his contemporaries. And look at this, Noah walked with God. So notice the consistent description here. Genesis 5:24, we looked at Enoch a couple weeks ago. Genesis 5:24, listen to this description. Enoch walked with God. And then he was not there because God took him. So out of these first few examples, two of them are described in very, very similar language. They walked with God. And so listen to me, church family. If you and I are going to have blind faith, if we're going to have the faith of Enoch and the faith of Noah, and God's going to use us for his kingdom and for his glory, then you and I, we need to walk with God. We need to have a life and testimony of walking with God. Sometimes, somewhere along the way, we've fallen victim to this trap of this idea that if I pray a prayer and I get in a baptistry and I join the church and I give a little bit of money here and there, and I just don't go around cussing everybody out, and I don't give people the bird going down I-40 and all these sorts of things, then I must be walking with God. I'm okay. But friends, let me tell you, that's not the Christianity that the Bible describes. Like, we just, we get these sort of check boxes, but then if I'm just a little better than my neighbor, I'm okay. But friend, God has and wants so much more for you in your life. He wants you to have a deep, meaningful, rich relationship with Him. He wants you to have a sense of intimacy with a holy God, that you nestle up close and clean to the Lord Jesus, that He didn't save you just to give you some fire insurance to live any way that you want to. Rather, He saved you, drew you into Himself, and wants to walk with you day by day. He wants to walk with you through your toughest times, your hardest days, your toughest seasons. But listen, He wants to walk with you through your greatest days and your greatest seasons. Man, Enoch and Noah walked with God. We don't have a whole lot about them, about their daily life and what that looks like. And I really, we got to be really careful. Yes, listen, you've heard me. I've been your pastor for over 3 years. You know my heart and passion for you to get in the Word of God and spend time in prayer every day. But I'm going to tell you, that's more than a checkbox. Listen, you can do the 365-day readings, and you can make the check mark, and you can say your prayers and not really get close and walk with God. Now listen, I think you need to spend time in the Word, and you need to spend time in prayer. You can't do it without those things. But if your whole motivation is to check a box when I get in my Word every day, or I get my email devotional to make sure I get it done, but it's not motivated to go, man, I want to know more of God. I want to spend time with Him. I want to get to know Him. I want to feel His conviction. I want to feel His presence, know that, and confess sin, and be clean and close to Him. That's where we got to be motivated. And let me tell you, walking with God doesn't happen out there isolated. Christianity is not an individual sport. Christianity is a team sport. We need one another. Because as I'm walking along and trying to pursue God, and man, I struggle. I have some hard days, but I see Steve, or I see Jonathan, or I see Caleb. Man, they're walking with God and going, man, I got to get back to it. I got to get clean and close to the Lord. Or as I get around one of the older saints, and man, I just around them, the presence of God permeates their life. Go, man, that's what I want. That's what I need. Dear friends, we've got to be believers. We've got to be a community of believers. If we're going to live this kind of life, if God is going to use us for His kingdom and His glory, then we need to be individuals who walk with God. You spend time with Him. You carve time out. Hey, listen. Busyness is an excuse. Every single person in this room, if the Lord doesn't come back, will have the same exact 24 hours today. The same exact. Nobody in this room will get 1 second more or 1 second less. And let me just help you. Let me help you get rid of a lie that you and I have both believed. You and I, at times, if we're honest, have both believed this, that I'm in a very busy season right now, and when I get to point X, I'll have more time and I'll be able to do it. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You're going to have if the Lord tarries, you're going to have the same exact amount of time then as you do now. And every season of life, I realize I'm only 35 years old, but every season of life, I thought, boy, we get to point, I'll be able to do whatever. And I'm going to tell you, life is busy. It doesn't matter how old you are, what stage you're at, and what's going to matter is you're going to carve that out and make it a priority in your life. And make it a daily habit, a daily time where you carve that out and you spend time with the Lord. And parents, we teach our kids by example, and then we lay it out for them. Go, here's, man, spend some time. Here's how. So, number one, blind faith begins with a walk with God. Number two, what I think we can learn from Noah is blind faith believes God. Now, there's two parts of this, okay? Blind faith believes God. Part A is this: blind faith believes God at His Word. Blind faith believes God at His Word. So Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, after he was warned about what was not yet seen and motivated by godly fear. Do you see it? He was warned. What is it? That God came and spoke to him, gave him a clear word. Now, how he did this, we don't have a lot of information about that. And I want to be really careful. You know my heart behind this is that we got to be really careful for all of us to say, man, I've got a word from God, okay? Especially when you've not been in the Word of God. Now, can God speak and God move? Yes. Now, listen, I'm kind of like one of my heroes of the faith, Dr. B. Gray Allison. He'd say, now, if you tell me God spoke audibly to you, I'm going to move away from you. He'd say that God rarely spoke audibly, if ever, okay? Now, God speaks in a small, still voice, and He nudges us, so those of us that are believers, all that kind of thing. But listen, friend, I'm telling you, one of the main ways, the primary way in which God speaks to us is through His Word. It's through His Word. But here's Noah. He's walking with God. He doesn't have the Word of God in the way that you and I have it. And so he had this walk with God, this relationship with God. And God shows up on his doorstep one day and he warns him, is what the Bible says. God speaks to him and tells him, says, hey, there's going to be a flood. I'm not happy with the thing, way things are going. I'm bringing judgment. I'm going to save you and your family. I want you to build a big boat because, oh yeah, here's this flood that is coming. And you can go, well, maybe that's not that big of a deal. But you've got to understand that this day and time, there's a lot of people debate whether at this point in time that there had ever been rain on the face of the earth. See, because God, when God created the heavens and the earth, He created a perfect environment. If you go back and read the account of this and how the flood happens and the waters break up from the depth below and water comes down, I believe that there was a water capsule wrapped around the earth creating this greenhouse effect. There was a perfect environment. There was water coming from below like a built-in sprinkler system. It was a sustainable, perfect environment. Whether there was rain or not, we don't have a lot about that. But there had never been this kind of flood. There had never been anything similar to what God said was going to come. I know some of you, especially those of you who've been through science and college, all that stuff, just kind of, I know I just jumped all over some of what you'll learn there, but that's a whole nother bit for another day. But here's what I want you to catch, is that Noah was warned about something that he had never seen or heard, nobody ever had. Hey, listen. This wasn't even a pandemic that nobody's seen in 100 years. This was a major catastrophe that nobody had ever experienced or heard of. And God was speaking and giving this to him, telling him, you're going to do this because this is coming. And Noah was obedient simply at the word of God. And dear friend, I want to challenge you this morning that we need more of that today, not less of it. Listen to what Genesis 7:1 says. Then the Lord said to Noah, enter the ark. He tells him to go in, you and all your household, for I have seen that you alone are righteous before me in this generation. What does that tell us? Noah did what God told him to do. We don't have any other conversation from him. As far as we know, God gave him these instructions, says build it this way, and Noah went to work. Noah just simply did it. Began gathering supplies, all that needed to be done. He just simply believed the word of God. He trusted him at his word. Listen to me, friends. We need to get to a place in our lives where we just simply trust the word of God. Listen, the things of God and the Word of God, sometimes, if I'm honest with you, I read and go, man, I don't really fully understand that. I don't comprehend all of that. I don't understand how God takes a sinful man, takes a dead man, raises him to life, and uses him for His kingdom and His glory. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I know that's what the Word teaches. There's so many things that you and I, that God has called us to be obedient to, and we just need to be people of the book. People of the Bible, believing the Word of God, trusting the Word of God, and being obedient to the Word of God. That you and I were commanded to go and be fishers of men. You and I were commanded to make disciples of all nations. You and I are commanded to pray for one another, encourage one another. You and I are commanded to gather together. There's so much that the Word of God calls us to and calls us out of, and we just need folks that are going to say, you know what, I'm just crazy enough to believe and trust the Word of God. That it doesn't make sense to give to the world would say it doesn't make sense to give away so that you might have more, but that's what the Bible says. But yet we don't trust it. We get at stages of our life going, Pastor, you don't really know what I make, and you don't know the bills that I have, and all these sorts of things. I can't afford to give. I want to tell you, listen, friend, you can't afford not to give. And there's so much according to the Word of God that God calls us to. That God used Noah simply because he had heard from God and he obeyed him. He was obedient. And listen, I don't know what God's wanting to do in your life, stirring up in your life, but this is what I know. God wants you to be obedient. And it may be that God stirred some things up in your life. He said, hey, you need to serve on the welcome team, or you need to serve in this area, you need to be a part of this, or you need to join. Man, I'm just telling you, if God's led you to it, and it lines up with the Word of God, and it's clearly from God, and it's about the things of God, why are you waiting? You need to be obedient to what God has called you to do. It may be that God has called you to ministry, full-time ministry. You go, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Listen, I'm telling you, I've been there. But I'm telling you, you need to be obedient to what God has spoken and called you to in your life. Blind faith believes God. It believes God at His Word. And then secondly, part B, blind faith acts from a seat of reverence. A seat of reverence. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, after he was, look at that, warned about what was not yet seen, and look at this, and motivated by godly fear. Motivated by godly fear. We don't talk about fearing God much, do we? We talk a lot about Jesus and Jesus' love and peace and kindness, all those sorts of things, and those are absolutely true. But we don't often talk about the fear of God. That God is a holy God. He is a righteous God. He is a demanding God. He is a jealous God. He is the one true God. So what motivated, what pushed, what really was the driving force behind Noah being obedient to what God told him to do? You know what it was? He feared God. Now listen to me. I want to be careful. I don't think we need to be a set of believers who thrive on trying to force fear into other people. That's fear from man, not fear from God. But I also believe that the Bible is very clear that we, as creation, as God's creation, need to fear God. That God is love, God is patient, God is merciful, He is gracious. But God is holy. And God is the judge. And He judges the living and the dead, the Bible says. He is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. And what moved the needle for Noah to be obedient to what God told him to do? The Bible says right here, Hebrews 11:7, he was motivated by godly fear. And sometimes we talk about this in the way that and we try to make it palatable, the way that maybe as a child you feared your father. There's this healthy sort of reverence and respect. And I understand what's there. It's not a sense of trembling in which he's just waiting to smite us, you know, almost like a dog or a cat or some pet that has been beaten and they get around somebody and they cower down and just afraid for everything. I don't believe that's the sense of godly fear that's here, but it ought to be a healthy reverence, a legitimate that God is holy and righteous. This comes out of knowing who He is. Hebrews 11:6. Remember this? Just one verse prior to our verse for this morning. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Since the one who draws near to Him, look at this, must believe that He is. Remember, this says He exists, but He is. And that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, when all has been heard, the conclusion of the matter is this. Fear God and keep His commandments. Because this is for all humanity. Proverbs says the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom is fear of God. It may just be this morning that some of us need to get back to a healthy reverence and fear of a holy God. I know it's not popular, it doesn't fit our culture, it doesn't fit our day and time, But folks, I'm telling you, if you're going to walk by faith, if you're going to live a life of faith that pleases God, it'll be because you're obedient to His Word, and you'll be obedient to His Word when you have a healthy fear of God. A righteous, holy fear of God. All right, third observation is this. Blind faith joins God in His work. Look at Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, after he was warned and warned about what was not yet seen, and motivated by godly fear, built an ark to deliver his family. What's the deal here? Remember, we read earlier in our passage earlier that God had already surveyed the land. He had already taken account of what was going on, and He was going to destroy the earth. He was going to destroy everything. That's the plan, except for Noah and his family. And so God has a plan. He has put in order. And what has He done? He has gone to Noah as one of the only righteous men and gone to him and says, look, I'm going to use you and save your family. And I'm going to use you from then on. And you're going to be a demonstration of faith. But listen, it wasn't Noah that started the work. Rather, God was already at work, and God invited him, allowed him to join. Those of you, this may sound familiar, those of you that went through Experiencing God. You remember one of the principles of Experiencing God from Henry Blackaby. God used it in a great way. One of the observations or principles was you look for where God is at work and you join Him there. Sometimes we get it backwards. We look and see, look for these needs, look for these things that are around us and go, man, I need to start something there. I need to go and be a part and create something that's there because there's apparently a need, rather than looking around and seeing where God is at work and join Him in this. Now, I want to hit pause and be very careful here for this reason. Because what we're talking about with Noah, where God was at work, He was getting ready to wipe all of humanity off the face of the earth. There have been, in recent years and long before that, very wicked, evil, possessed men who've convinced themselves that they were God and they were going to help eliminate some people. God did not call Noah to eliminate anybody. Actually, He called Noah to create a way of escape for his family. And here's the reality. God will never call you to do something that doesn't line up with His Word. Okay, so I want to be really careful here. But you need to see and hear this, is that Noah was obedient because God was already at work and God invited him to be a part of that. Blind faith joins God at His work. Genesis 6:22, and Noah did this. He did everything that God commanded him because God was already at work. Number four, blind faith is not without cost. It is not without a cost. Look at Hebrews 11:7. By faith, after he was warned about what was not yet seen, and motivated by godly fear, built an ark. There's his activity. He joined God in His work. And let me just say another word about that. Sometimes we want this idea of going, man, God, I'm struggling in my faith. COVID-19's been hard. My job's been hard. The political landscape has been hard. Social media, all these sorts of things. School has been hard. And man, our faith begins to shrink down, and we want God, help me in my faith. Help me to grow. All this sort of thing. And really what we're saying oftentimes is, God, just help me feel better about the situation I'm in. But listen, God is not interested in filling your gas tank of faith just so that you can sit on full and feel better about yourself. Rather, He wants to fill the gas tank of your faith so that you'll step out in godly fear and be obedient and serve the Lord. He didn't just tell Noah, hey, listen, I'm going to wipe everything off, sit back, I'm going to build an ark, and I'll just whoop, put you in the boat and everything will be good and water will go down, whoop, you're out. And no, God invited him to be a part. He had to be active. He built the ark, but God had spoke to him. He was to be obedient to that. And so now here you and I are going, man, we're struggling in our faith and we want our faith, but it's as if we want this meter to rise, and then once it gets to the top, then we'll go out and do something for God. But listen, part of your faith meter rising may be the fact that you need to step out and be obedient to God. And as you're obedient and you serve God, you see God's hand of faithfulness. You see God's hand of goodness, God's hand of blessing. And what does that do? That fills your tank up. That was all free. Blind faith is not without cost. So look at back at Hebrews 11:7. He built an ark to deliver his family. Look at this. By faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes from God. He condemned the world. What happened? God saw everything was wicked. He chose in his sovereignty and his goodness to save Noah and his family. He said, hey, build an ark. The Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I don't believe Noah was silent about what he was doing or why he was doing it. I believe he was telling his contemporaries, those who are around him, saying, hey, listen, judgment day is coming. You need to get right. Judgment day is coming. You need to listen up. You need to get right with God. God wants to have a relationship with God. God wants to know you. God wants to spend time with you. You need to have a relationship with God. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness, is what the Bible says. But the whole time, what's happening is Noah is working on an ark. He's working on a boat. Now think about this. Reading, and some experts believe that it took anywhere from 50 to 75 years for Noah to build this ark. Okay? You got to think about it. They didn't have the nice machinery that you and I do, or not me, but maybe you got some nice machinery that built it a lot quicker. But some of the experts, archaeological, all that sort of thing, believe anywhere from 50 to 75 years. Now, the Bible's fairly silent. There's a window that's given. So we don't know exactly how long, but a boat that large in that day and time undoubtedly would have taken a very long time to build. Now you think about this. They've never seen any rain or any flood, any reason to have a boat. And now all of a sudden, here's a man that already probably stands out or sticks out in the culture because he's not doing what everybody else is doing. And now all of a sudden, in his front yard, the Clampets have come to town, and here he is building this massive structure. I'm sorry, some of y'all don't know what the Clampets are, and just whoop. Anyway, YouTube it later, all right? You'll thank me later, all right? Not right now. Hold on. So, anyway. But building this ark in the front yard and going, man, what in the world is Noah up to now? And the Bible says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I believe he's telling everybody, hey, you need to get right. You need to get right with God. And then meanwhile, what this says is that by faith he condemned the world. What is it? Because Noah had heard and seen, and he believed this message, and he was preaching this message, and he's taking a step of faith and a step of obedience in building this ark and telling everybody why he's building it and why they need to get right, and they're refusing to do so, they stand condemned. And by the way, we don't need to pass by this. The Bible says those who do not believe are condemned already. Jesus has come. He has lived a sinless, perfect life. He died on the cross. He was raised from the grave. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. He left apostles. He left disciples here to tell the world. And through that, the message was passed down. And one day, this man believed it. I was saved. And one day, he called me to be a preacher of righteousness. And I stand here today to declare this message to you, that if you will repent and believe on Jesus, you too can have salvation. But if you do not repent and believe, you are condemned already. And I want you to fathom for a moment. The ark is ready. The animals are loaded up. The food is loaded up. All the supplies are loaded up. The family goes in. The Bible says this, that God closes the door to the ark. And then the rain sets in, and the waters from below set in, and they are starting to experience things that they had never experienced. And probably when it first began to happen, because knowing mankind, I'm sure some wrote it off. Sure that some thought, hey, this isn't that big of a deal. We're okay. We're fine. It'll rain just a little bit, or it'll stop before long. But as things begin to flood, as the water began to rise, somewhere, some way, somebody began to take it more seriously. And the Bible doesn't say a lot about this, but I have to believe that there were individuals who began to run to the ark, run to this boat that they had been poking at, they had been making fun at, and probably began knocking on the door and going, hey Noah, hey, open up. We've got our family out here too. We need help. And began to vehemently beat on the door of the ark, begging for mercy, begging for that. But the Bible says here that by faith, he was moved by godly fear. He believed things that he had not seen, and that he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness. Listen to me, dear friend. There will become a day when you and I will breathe our last. And you may knock, but it'll be too late. You may plead for mercy, but it'll be too late. And dear friends, living a life of blind faith has its cost. Not everybody's going to buy in. Not everybody's going to sign up. Not everybody's going to jump in with both feet. We want them to. We beg for them to. But there's a cost of living by blind faith. Fifth observation. Blind faith opens the door to God's favor. Blind faith opens the door to God's favor. Look at the end of verse 7, 11:7. By faith he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. I want you to hear this. And he became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. For Noah, he had believed God. He was moved by godly fear. And he and his household experienced salvation. So what's the picture then? Because the Bible says that he became an heir. He had an inheritance. You know what's interesting about an inheritance is you don't earn it. An inheritance is simply where somebody loves you enough to leave you with something that they wanted you to have. Or by nature of a relationship. Noah obtained an inheritance of righteousness. What does that mean? Noah did not earn righteousness. He didn't earn his salvation. But rather, because he believed God and trusted God, God saw fit to give him an inheritance of righteousness. Hey, listen to me, friend. If anybody in here one day steps into eternity covered in the, it has to be covered in the righteousness of his Son, it won't be because you've earned it. It will be because it was an inheritance in which when you repented of your sins and placed your faith and trust in Jesus, you obtained an inheritance of righteousness. Romans 3:22 says, the righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ. Look at this. To all who believe, since there is no distinction. If you will simply believe on Jesus and repent of your sins, the Bible says that He'll cover you in His righteousness. You too can experience salvation today. Philippians 3:9 says, and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God based on faith. If anyone this morning is going to experience salvation today, it will be by faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone. I don't know how you walked in here, or what you walked in here with, or what you walked in here believing, but I'm here to tell you, dear friend, as a preacher of righteousness, if you will believe on Jesus, repent of your sins, the Bible says He'll cover you in His righteousness, and you'll be His forever. And for those of us that are believers in Jesus Christ, thanks be to God who gave us grace to believe on Him, to trust Him, and God's hand of favor and blessing is on you. Not because of your own merit, not because of your own goodness, but because of His. And as you and I will live out our faith, you and I will walk by blind faith. God, I can't see all around the corners. I can't see all the way home, but I can see this step right in front of you. I'm going to be obedient. And God blesses that. And then He's going to show you another step, and I'll step and be obedient. And God blesses that. When God blesses that, what happens? Our faith meter goes up. Our tank of faith goes up. And then you and I walk by faith. We walk by faith. We walk by faith. And that's why some of you in this room, man, the last 18 months hasn't affected you all that much, because you've lived through some things. And you've been obedient to the things of God. And you've walked by faith. And your tank is pretty full. And some of us have been affected more, and that's why we need to rub elbows with one another, spend time with one another, because we can rub and encourage the faith of one another, that you and I may live a life of obedience to a holy God. And church, if we don't believe that our nation, our community, doesn't need more believers walking by faith, I don't know what's going to convince us. We need more believers begging God that He'll save our friends and neighbors. We need more people begging God for Him to work in our church. We need more people trusting God and giving faithfully week in and week out. And trusting God to do what only He can. And some of you go, man, I just, God's dealt my heart. I need to be saved. I need to ask Jesus to save me. It starts with a prayer of faith. Simply, right where you are, praying and asking God, save me and forgive me my sins. I'll make You the boss of my life. I'll go where You want me to go. I'll do what You want me to do. I'll be what You want me to be. Simple prayer of repentance and faith. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, I love and adore You. And God, I thank You for this time. I thank You for Your Word. And Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that's lost and needs to be saved, God, I pray that You would give them grace right now to call out on You for salvation. And if that's you this morning, simply pray right where you're at. You can pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come to my heart. Wash away my sins. I ask You to be the boss of my life. I ask You to save me. Jesus, I'll go where You want me to go. I'll do what You want me to do. And I'll be what You want me to be. And by Your grace, I'll live by faith. And God, by faith right now, I receive You as Savior and Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. If you prayed just a moment ago and you asked Jesus to save you this morning, you stay in attitude of prayer. But if you just prayed and asked God to save you and forgive you of your sins and be the boss and master of your life, if you prayed that meant with all your heart, I just want you to slip your head up and look right up here at me. Amen. Did y'all pray that? Amen. Anybody else? Yeah. Amen. God in heaven, I thank you for these. I pray, God, for all of us here this morning. God, that got some things to deal with, God. We've been challenged by living by faith. God, I pray that we would respond in obedience. God, help us to be obedient to you. In Jesus' name, your main attitude of prayer, this front is open. If you want to come and pray, you can come. If you need somebody to pray for you, I'd love to pray for you. If you prayed a moment ago and asked the Lord to save you, you come. And I just want to pray and encourage you. However the Lord moved in your heart, you take this time and be obedient to Him. Kind, and we thank you for this moment. We thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would be glorified in this remainder together as we get ready to take of the Lord's Supper. And Lord, I just thank you so much for all that you are. Thank you for all that you do. And we pray your hand of blessing will be upon this. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we want to get ready in this moment to take of the Lord's Supper. We do this about once a quarter is our plan, and realize it's been a little bit less frequent with COVID-19. And so nonetheless, just really felt led, especially like to do it this time of year leading up to our week of Thanksgiving and being thankful for all that the Lord has done. And so we have the little to-go all-in-one packets. We do have our deacons that do have some extras. So if there's anybody who does not have one that would like one, if you wouldn't mind just to slip your hand up in the air and we'll make sure to get you one. If anybody needs one, just slide your hand up in the air and we'll make sure to get one to you as we get ready for this, okay? Anybody, we good? Oh, yeah, one right over here. Thank you, Brother Steve. It is the all-in-one packet, so be careful as you get ready to take these apart. There's a thin film on the very top. Right under that is the small wafer bread, if you will. and then the thicker one underneath that peels back the juice. If you get them in the wrong order, it can be difficult, okay? And I apologize for that nonetheless, okay? I'm getting ready. I'll read in just a moment and lead us through this time. This is for those that are first have a relationship with Jesus. You have surrendered your heart and life to Jesus and given your heart to Him, okay? That you're first a Christian. Secondly, you're walking in obedience with the Lord, and that begins with believer's baptism. We believe as a church that you need to be walking in obedience. So you've trusted Christ and you've taken the step and you've been baptized. And then thirdly, you need to be a member of a church of like faith and order. What does that mean? You don't have to be a member specifically of this church to take of the Lord's Supper, but you do need to be a member of a local church. We just believe that's part of the obedience, okay? And so, and then finally, you need to be fessed up, meaning that as a believer, if there's been some things in your heart and in your life that aren't right and you know they're not right, you need to confess them. And now know this, you may just be at a point this morning going, you know what, I'm just not in a good, healthy relationship with the Lord the way that I should be. And you may choose to not partake this morning. And if that's what you choose to do, then that's between you and the Lord. We just want to just share with you, kind of as your pastor, I just want to share with you what I believe the Scripture teaches and leads us to. Okay? All right, so with that, we're going to have a time where we go through and take of the Lord's Supper. So if you pulled the top slip off first and you find the bread underneath there, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 and 24 says this. Says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let me pray and thank God for the bread. Jesus, you're good. We thank you for your death, burial, and resurrection. And we thank you for the sacrifice that this represents. And we ask you to bless the taking of your bread. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take and eat. Continuing on in 1 Corinthians 11, 25 and 26 says, "In the same way, he took the cup after supper and saying, 'This is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let me pray and ask God's blessing on the cup. God, as we get ready to take of this, we thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the blood that brings about forgiveness and cleansing of our sin. And we thank you for this time to remember what you have done. We ask you to bless this cup in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take and drink. Well, amen. We are going to, one final thing is we're going to, well, two things. We're going to stand and sing, "I Surrender All." So let's stand together and we're going to sing this song together.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Bow.
thee. That works. All right. We are going to ask our men to ready to receive the offering as we are dismissed today. And want to encourage you, be faithful in your giving. And thank you for being here tonight, 4 o'clock, as we pack our food boxes, business meeting at 5 o'clock tonight, and then helping serve tomorrow. Okay, let me pray and you will be dismissed. Lord, you're gracious and kind and merciful. We thank you for today. Thank you for your love and affection. I pray, God, you would help us to be faithful to come back tonight to serve you and honor you with our time of business. And I pray that, God, you would, your hand of blessing be upon us as we leave, that we give it a way that honors you and go before us and behind us. Make your face shine upon us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.